This recording, Ontario 5, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working in the Desert Direct District of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job at the suburb private practice in the North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was very much near for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stress. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot or mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you will only expect to see it in a dog or a bird. Before long, that itchy goose became a strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was a strong and huge, so this could take some place form to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose became too tired, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bat the goose, she whipped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." Okay, I'm a 37-year-old man. I'm a French-Canadian. I was born and raised in a small farming community about 5 hours north of Toronto. I have a grade 12 education diploma, and I also attended trade school. I am an electrician by trade, and I'm also an owner and operator of a mining contracting company. Jeff asked me to do this interview and also asked me to tell a bit of a story. And the story that I decided to talk about was my hunting trip this year, and maybe a few years, but if I take too much time, we're going to run out of minutes. So this hunting thing started for me about 8 years ago. I have a friend that approached me to see if I wanted to go moose hunting with him. So I was kind of reluctant because I had just started the business and I didn't have too much time to go hunting, but I decided that maybe I could, just to please him, and decided to go with him. So anyways, to make a long story short, we've been hunting together for the last 8 years, and we've been moose hunting. So this year, moose hunting season was pretty well the same thing. It's we have a big motorhome, and our wives come with us. There's 3 couples, and we have 3 stands in the bush. We have a campsite where we park the motorhome, and we have a little tarp shed that we use for a sauna bath. We have a wood stove in there. Well, the 3 stand, it's It's a tree stand. That's exactly what it is. It's built in the trees. We have, in the area where we hunt, we have three of those. And we have to go down on water. We go 6 miles on water with the boats and the canoes. There's a couple of portages we have to do. We have to go over the beaver dams with the boats and the canoes. So the tree stand is about 20 feet up in the air. It's basically just a wooden platform with the railing around it. We usually go there during the week before the moose season opens up, and this year was October the 8th. So we go there and we put some plastic around the what we call our tree stand. We put a tarp on the roof. We go there, we bring our sleeping bag, and we bring a lunch. Moose season opens on the Saturday. So usually on the Friday night, what we'll do is we'll sleep in our tree stand. There's no stove, and there's no heaters. All we have is our sleeping bag, and we have a little butane stove to warm up the soup, and that's about it. So the first night, we sleep in the tree stand, and hopefully it's going to be nice and crispy and cold, because that's when the moose starts to move. So on the first day this year, we did exactly that. We went down the river, and we set ourselves up in our tree stands. At 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning, my buddy Leo, the moose caller, started to call the moose, and we got some answers. The moose answered back, but we were not sure if it was a moose because of the way it answered. It almost answered like a howling, like a wolf that was answering. And all the years that I've been hunting, and Leo's been hunting longer than me, he's been hunting for about 20 years, 25 years, and he never heard something answered that way. So as soon as he stopped calling, then the howling stopped. He started calling again about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the howling started again. He started again calling at 6:30 in the afternoon, and then the howling started again. So at 9 o'clock at night, we walked over to the next tree stand, where we have another couple over there, to have supper with them. Coming back from our tree stand at 9 o'clock at night, it's dark, a flashlight, and we could hear the howling again. So we went to bed and rolled ourselves up in our sleeping bag. And guess what? The next morning we get up, and sure enough, it's crispy and it's cold. There's a frost all around the tree stand. There's ice in the boat. There's a little crust of ice around the swamp where we're parked. And my buddy Leo started calling about 7:30 in the morning. And about 8 o'clock, 8:30, he yelled at me, or you don't yell because you're going to scare the moose away. He tapped me on the shoulder and pointed with his finger. He says the moose was out in the water. So I took my gun and my scope and I looked and I couldn't see what it was. If it was a bull or if it was a cow. Now what we were hunting for is a bull, because you have to have a bull tag or a cow tag, and you can't shoot anything you see. You got to shoot with the tag you got for. So I looked in my scope and I couldn't see what it was. So I told my friend Leo, I'm going to go down the tree stand and take the bush cross country and run to the canoe and take the boat down the river and try to get that moose. So that's exactly what I did. I went down the river with the canoe and or the boat, and very slowly parked myself where I thought he was, and we couldn't see anything. But I heard some noise in the bush. I knew he was still there, but I thought he was going away. I heard some, I guess he was racking his horns on the trees. He was going, tuck, tuck. So then, all of a sudden, about 20 minutes later, I said, well, I'm kind of pissed off at myself, because I said, well, I probably scared him away with all the noise I made going in the bush. So I took the paddle and I paddled up the river very slowly. And I went and set up in my tree stand, which is across the river from Leo. And the way we have our tree stand set up, like I said before, we have three tree stands, and the guy in the center sees both sides. So he sees one tree stand and he sees the other tree stand, and he's the one that does the calling. So roughly about an hour and a half later, I guess I'm in the tree stand, and I got my head kind of down, because I figured that we really screwed up, we made too much noise, and that moose took off on us and we couldn't really see what it was. But I thought I heard some noise, like a little grunt. Now when the moose grunt, it's like he's telling the cow that he's on his way. And my buddy Leo, when he calls, that's what he does. He imitates the cow. So the bull is coming to the cow. So all of a sudden, I thought I had heard some noise. So I start looking in the swamp there where I was, and I couldn't see anything, and there was a bunch of small trees that were pretty high. And about, I would say about 500 yards, I guess, from my tree stand, I thought I saw what it looked like, a moose horn sticking out of the trees. So I'm keeping an eye on that, and all of a sudden, they start to move. So then I knew it was a moose, and it started to grunt again. And the grunt is different because he's getting closer. So I waved to my chum or my calling partner, which is in the other tree stand, with my hands, because you can't talk because you'll scare that thing away. So I'm just waving at him so he sees me, and I'm pointing towards the swamp, and I'm showing my hands up in the air, and I'm asking him to call with my hands. So sure enough, he got the hint, so he started to call, so that moose started grunting again, so he's moving. So he's going, oh, 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 oh. So then all of a sudden he stopped. Then I could hear the trees being breaking. Pash, crash, paf, crash, paf, crash. So again I waved at my buddy Leo on the other side with my hand, because you can't yell at him, to start calling again. So he did so. So that moose started to move again. So all I could see is the antlers or the horns. Just a little bit of them. And as he's walking, I could see more horns and more horns and more horns. And I said to myself, holy geez, that's a big one. And sure enough, it was a big one that came across. So he came out in the opening roughly about 300 feet, so it'd be about 100 yards, and I got a clear shot at him. So I put my rifle up and I took the shot, and down it went.